Could we turn to Mark chapter 16? Mark chapter 16. And let us begin to read at the 9th verse of the chapter, Mark 16. And we'll read from verse 9 down to the end of that chapter. Mark 16 and verse 9. Remember that many of the modern versions cast doubt upon this portion. I looked up the NIV last night. Now, don't be getting alarmed. I don't use the NIV and have no time for it. But I have a copy. Someone gave me a copy some time ago. And I use it at times like this just to check what the NIV does contain and what it doesn't contain. So I looked it up last night, and to be fair to the NIV does contain this passage, but it puts in brackets a wee statement that early manuscripts don't contain this passage. Now, that isn't true. And we don't believe that people should say things like that about God's inspired word. We believe this passage here that we're about to read to be inspired. And so let us read from Mark 16 and the 9th verse. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Could we bow, please, for prayer? Our gracious God, we remember Mr. Henry, who has gone today to preach at Macrofelt. And we pray, Lord, even now as he will read thy word and preach thy word, we pray that thou wilt greatly help him. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt anoint him. And, O Lord, undertake for thy servant. And we do pray that thou wilt bless us here, Lord. We pray, Lord, that this short Bible study this morning will be a blessing to each and every one of us. We pray that it will be a challenge to us. We pray that whatever our need is today, Lord, that thou wilt meet our need. So come and defeat the devil and glorify Christ, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, obviously, the mission starts this afternoon. And I wanted to preach a message this morning that would encourage those who have been praying for the mission, those who have been giving out the invitations to other people. And I believe that there's no better message to preach than this message that we have read today, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What is the purpose of the Curry Free Gospel Mission? Why are we going up to Curry Free for a week of gospel meetings? Well, there's a very simple answer to those questions. We are going up there because Jesus Christ has commanded us to go up there. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are obeying Scripture by going to Curry Free. That's the first thing. That's where we need to start. You see, some people say, "Oh, well, what's the point having missions nowadays? What's the point going here or there? Sure, people don't come to missions the way they used to. People aren't getting saved the way they used to." Well, we need to come back to Scripture and we need to examine whether what we're doing is scriptural. Ultimately, that's what matters. Are we obeying the Scriptures? And by going to Curry Free, we are obeying Scripture. Take heart, child of God, today. As we go to Curry Free this afternoon, we are obeying our Lord's command. Now, whenever we obey Him, we can expect blessing. You see, don't expect blessing whenever you disobey the Lord or whenever you don't obey God. Whenever we see clear commands in Scripture and we obey those commands, we can expect blessing. But if we see clear commands in Scripture and we don't obey those commands, we can't expect blessing. So what am I saying? We can expect blessing this week. We can look for the blessing of God because we are obeying His command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want you to notice that little word ye. Ye. Go ye into all the world. That's a very important little word. That little word means you, everybody, all the Christians, not just the preacher, not just the evangelist, not just the testifier, not just the singer. This refers to everybody. Whenever the Savior spoke these words, He was speaking to all believers. Go ye. So do you know what that teaches me? That teaches me that every one of us have a responsibility. Tell me this, have you fulfilled your responsibility as far as Curry Free is concerned? Have you done your best during the past week? I know that you have been busy, that you've been giving out invitations. I know that you've been praying. But let me just speak to everybody today. Have you done what you could? Whenever 3:30 this afternoon comes round, will you be able to say, "Well, Lord, now we've reached the beginning of the mission, and I've done all that I could. I've done all that you would have expected me to do." Now, the Lord doesn't expect you and I to do everything. No, He doesn't. He expects the load to be shared. But He does expect us to do what we can. We are to do our part. But you know what saddens me? Well, first of all, let me say what gladdens me. When I see God's people pulling out all the stops. When I see Christians sacrificing for the mission. And I see Christians getting tired because they're so busy giving out the invitations, praying, speaking to people, making the mission known. That gladdens me. But you know what saddens me? When I see believers who do very little. Christians who could do more, but they don't. Have you fulfilled your responsibility? Go ye. Notice that it's not thee. Because if it was thee, that would be referring to the individual, that Jesus would be speaking to one person. But he's speaking to the church as a whole. There is a corporate responsibility, we could say. Oh, we all have to examine ourselves whenever a mission comes round. Indeed, whenever any special effort comes round, have we done what we could? Have we fulfilled our responsibility? The Lord Jesus Christ says, go ye. Have we gone? Have we went? Have we done what we could? Have we did what was within our power to do? As I've already said, the Lord never expects you and I to do everything. But again, what saddens me is that generally speaking across the land today, you take the average church and you'll have a small nucleus of people who seem to have to do all the work. Small handful of people who are burdened with all the work. That's not the way it should be. Oh, the Lord would teach us today that we all need to share the load. And then I want you to notice what the verse goes on to say. Not only go ye into all, not only go ye, but it says go ye into all the world. We are to go everywhere. You see, some people might say, oh, why are you going way up to Curryfree, away into the back of nowhere? Why are you going way up into the hills? Now, by the way, that's not an insult to those who live up there. But some people say, why do you go way out into the country? Why go way up into the hills to have a mission? Why don't you have a mission down in the town or the city? Why don't you have it in your own church? Well, there's a very simple reason why we go to Curryfree and to other places. Because Jesus said, go ye into all the world. All the world. There is nowhere that we cannot go. Our founder has commanded us to go everywhere. And so as we go and we preach today and bring the gospel to Curryfree, we are obeying what the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do. To go in, not only to go, but to go into all the world. Go everywhere. You'll notice what the text goes on to say. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That includes creatures from Curryfree, the people who live up there. Maybe some wee man living way down some wee long lane, away down, hidden out of sight somewhere. Some wee woman living away down some big long lane, and sure, most of the world don't know that they exist. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, go and preach the gospel to them. Reach them. Go into the highways and the hedges, the scripture says, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. We are to go everywhere. We are to go to Curryfree. We are to go to wherever the Lord leads us. And by the way, I believe the Lord has led this church to Curryfree for this week. I have no doubts about that. I have no doubt whatsoever that God has a plan that we should be at Curryfree this week. And I believe that God will work. In fact, I know that God will work. I know that He has plans and purposes to be fulfilled this week. I referred to that whenever we had the mission in the church back in the autumn. I emphasized that God always has plans and purposes whenever the gospel is preached. Now, we don't always know what those plans and purposes are, but they will be fulfilled. We can rest assured that they will be fulfilled. And I know that God fulfilled them, fulfilled his plans and purposes back in the autumn when we had the mission here. And I know that this week he will fulfill his plans and his purposes for this mission. Of course, his plan is that souls be saved. 1 Timothy 2, what does it say? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Oh, dear friend, maybe this is your week. Maybe the purpose of the Lord God for you this week is that you would be saved. Who knows, but this is your mission. But you know what? You don't even have to wait till the mission starts to be saved. And backslider, you don't even have to wait till the mission starts to come back to the Lord, to get things sorted out. My, how good it would be to be saved even before the mission begins, to be restored even before the mission begins. And then you would enjoy the mission. You will enjoy the mission if you're right with God before it begins. And you'll be able to invite others. And who knows what the Lord will do. And then I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. What is the church's responsibility? Go ye into all the world. What? And preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's our sole responsibility. Preaching. You see, many people today look for entertainment, even professing Christians. And if you had a mission where there was only preaching, the people would think there's something wrong. Oh, you have to have this and you have to have that. And if there was nobody singing at the mission, sure there'd be a hullabaloo. If there was nobody testifying at the mission, there'd be a hullabaloo. People seem to be taken up with those things that are peripheral, but the thing that's at the center is the preaching. As long as you have the preacher, you're obeying scripture, and you have the all-important ingredient. Many, many people today seem to want to see some sort of freak show when it comes to gospel meetings. Unless you have something peculiar at the meeting, they won't come. Unless you have something peculiar, people say that it's boring. Oh, them people, they just preach. That church just preaches. They just read the scriptures. Just? No way. While we have this book, we can go to Curry Free. We can go anywhere. While we have a mouth to preach this book, we can go anywhere. We can go everywhere. Now let me just say that I have no problem with testimonies and singers. By the way, we have testifiers and singers this week. There will be people giving their testimony and there will be people singing this week. But that's not the center of the meeting. Testimony doesn't occupy the central part of the meeting. Singing, those who come to sing, they are important just as the testifier is important, but they do not and they will not occupy the central part of the meeting, because the Lord Jesus has commanded us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And wherever the preaching of the gospel takes place, we can expect things to happen. There will be signs following God's word. There cannot but be signs following preaching of God's word. You see, the scriptures often remind us of the importance of preaching. Sinful, rebellious, fallen man kicks against preaching. But the scriptures give it a central place. 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians for a wee minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Did you see that? People think that if you have a meeting and there's just preaching, they think that it's foolish. But we are not concerned with what people think. We're not concerned with what rebellious man thinks. We are concerned simply with what God Almighty thinks and what he has to say. Read on. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You see, what's the scripture saying there? They're saying that so-called intelligent people today would say to us, oh, you have to just cut down the preaching a wee bit and bring this into the meeting, bring that into the meeting, make it a wee bit more entertaining. Make it a wee bit more palatable for modern man. God expressly forbids that we bring entertainment into the service. He expressly forbids that we bring our own notions and ideas into the service. You see, the problem with man today is that he thinks that he knows how God should be worshipped. And churches today are straying from the scriptures when it comes to worship, and churches and committees and sessions and vestries and all the rest of them, whenever they come to organize the church activities and the church services, they sit down and they say, oh well now, what would get the people in? What would be good to have in the church? What would create a bit of interest? But they fail to turn to the scriptures and look at the scriptures and examine the scriptures and see what way God has said that he will be worshipped. Verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice that it doesn't say foolish preaching. Foolish preaching, because there's a whole lot of foolish preaching today. Preaching that passes for preaching, but it's not preaching at all. No, God's word doesn't say foolish preaching, but it says the foolishness of preaching. That's how the Lord saves people. That's the ordained method that God has for the salvation of fallen man. Preach the gospel. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I wonder, can you remember back to the beginning of the year when we gave out our motto text? What is our motto text for 2009? Can you remember? I hope you all have the wee calendar on your mantelpiece or on your cabinet or your dresser somewhere where you can see it. What's the text that we gave out? earnestly contend for the faith. What's the best way to earnestly contend for the faith? Preach the gospel. Oh, what a mighty weapon that is. Preaching. What a fearful weapon it is in a sense, because God has ordained it and God anoints it. And whenever you get a man filled with the Holy Ghost preaching the gospel, there's nothing like it. Hell trembles. Oh, God uses preaching. That's the method he has ordained. And as we go to Kerryfree, we go with that motto in mind. We are going up there to earnestly contend for the faith. And this week, every night, as Kenny preaches and as I preach, we will be earnestly contending for the faith. Tell me, child of God, are you earnestly contending for the faith? When did we have that? When did we preach on the motto text? Way back at the start of the year, way back at the beginning of January? Have you forgotten about it? Or are you keeping that text before you as you journey through this year? You see, this is the responsibility not only for the preacher, but it's the responsibility for every one of God's people. Every one of us needs to contend for the faith. May the Lord give us grace to do so. Amen. We're going to turn to the final hymn, 228. Number 228. Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected and by the few enthroned. 228. And could we stand while we sing?